we already have meetings.
Yeah, closer. Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session. Today is Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, and the time is 5:29. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I turn it over to Superintendent Shaw, just want to make everybody note of a change in the agenda. After the CTE discussion from Leah, which will last about 30 minutes, at 6 p.m. we're going to go into a closed session to review a letter from our attorney. Okay, Superintendent Shaw?
All right, well, good evening, everybody. So with that, I know you have your presentation, and so we have Leah Morelli with us tonight to discuss CTE and everything around CTE, so it's all yours, ma'am.
Well, thank you. Good evening. While you were out and about, I put two things in front of everyone. Hopefully you have these two handouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll be referencing them as we talk about some of the funding formula, just so that you had it in front of you. It would be too small to look at on the screen. So thank you for having me tonight. I was asked by Mr. Shaw and Mr. Malalepsi to give you kind of a update on the state of CTE in the district. So that's what I'm here to do tonight. And you can feel free to ask me questions as I present or at the end, whatever makes you most comfortable, okay? Before I even get into the slideshow, and I know we're... I do. Yep, I have a slideshow. Jamie said either you or...
HDMI.
Okay. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background about how CTE is different in Monroe County than it is elsewhere. I think some of you are pretty versed on this, and maybe some of you don't know, but Monroe County is one of only 13 counties in the state of Michigan that doesn't have a tech center. So the individual schools in the county have programs, and the number of programs varies very drastically from school to school. Bedford and Monroe, being the largest districts in the county, have the most variety of programs, and then the smaller districts have anywhere from 0 up to 6, depending on the district. And at one time, there was a really big push to try to get a countywide consortium built, and those meetings at the business and industry level, who were trying to really advance that initiative, that whole thing has kind of come to a halt. We haven't had very many meetings on it as a county. Ever since, gosh, Andy, when were the last meetings that we would have had? 2 years ago, maybe? It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
So right now, we do have some students that come to Monroe as consortium students. It's very few. And we don't send anybody to any of the local schools, but we do have some students that participate with our programs that are offered at the ISD for all of the countywide students. And I'll get to those later in the presentation. But just so that you kind of understand, if you're running a tech center, you have kind of two sessions a day, a morning session and an afternoon session. So if you have a welding program with one instructor, you might have a total of 30 students from the county that have access, an AM group and a PM group. Same thing with automotive, and the number of students depends on the number of teachers and lab facilities. We are very, very fortunate in Monroe Public Schools to be able to have 12 of our programs right on site at our high school in our comprehensive local high school model, which means that our students have access to it within their six-hour day instead of having to travel and do a whole morning and then come back and do the rest of their cores at a school. I don't know if you were aware of that or not, but it's a big benefit to our students, and we're really proud of the things that we do offer, and we're obviously always looking for ways to grow. So with that said, currently this year we have 605 students at the high school enrolled in CTE courses. many of those students that are juniors and seniors and have room in their schedules are enrolled in more than one program. So there are 890 student seats right now in our CTE programs that are active in those programs. 605 students make those seats up. So some are in multiple programs. There are 15 programs available to Monroe High School students, 12 of them on site, and three that are the countywide programs that the ISD sponsors and runs and invites us to participate in. Our funding comes from several different sources. So we are grant funded. Our two main grants are the Federal Perkins Grant and the state added cost grant. There are several lines in the state budget that are 60, they're called 61 lines. Those all pertain to CTE. In the past, there's been a 61C equipment grant that has helped us secure some big purchases. That has been cut out of the state budget now for 2 years running. So we don't have access to those funds to do some of the larger upgrades, but we still have our added cost funds that help with the day-to-day program operation. The costs that are above and beyond what a normal elective program would run, that's what added cost funds are allocated from the state for. And the amount of allocation hasn't been calculated for this year yet. We're still waiting on that. There were some delays at our state level getting that budget passed, and then with the federal shutdown, there's some delays in that. So we're kind of operating on an imaginary budget, a projected budget right now, which isn't unusual in education, but we're hoping by the end of November to have our actual numbers for the year. The way that the funding formulas work, that second bullet up there, is they're based on, it's a very confusing formula that nobody has exactly access to. But there are things that we have to report to the state, that they take the data that we report into the state system, and then that is used as part of the funding formula. Both of the things that are in front of you are part of that. So I just kind of wanted to make you aware of that. So, for example, if you are a student in a health, in our health science program, that is the fourth out of, if the blue programs on this list are called the top 20. This is the rank list that the state of Michigan determines, and it gets reviewed and revised every 5 years. So last year it was a new list for us, and some of our programs changed position on the rank list. The top 20 programs are your highest funded programs. If you're underneath that blue line, you're still funded, but you have access to one less bucket of money in that funding formula. But the rank list is a really important thing when it comes to how our grants are determined and the allocations are determined. The number of students in each program is part of that formula, and their progression of learning the standards through the program is also a huge factor. For example, if somebody is in a class for a semester and they aren't successful and they drop, they would be considered an enrollee in that program versus another student who sticks it out for the whole year or comes back for an advanced level of the program and then they're considered a completer. And all of those students are funded at a different level for that year when they calculate that in the funding formula. So the rank list is important, and students progressing through the program and sticking with the program is really important. And then the other thing, they call it program quality, and program quality is determined by the other list that I provided for you. Any state program that has all of our their state-approved programs, and if the state has determined that there are industry-approved credentials available for a program, and you are not offering those credentials, that hurts you in the formula. So we've worked really hard over the last several years at making sure that we have industry credentials in place for our programs, and that's what this list is. It's the programs that offer the credentials and what those credentials are. And those are ones that we have selected from the list provided from the state, but we didn't get to just pick one that maybe we wanted that wasn't on their list. We had to select ones that were approved. So that's kind of the history of what we're going to look at here. And then I'm going to go through each program. I'll go through most of them quickly. There are a couple of them that I'd really like to stop and talk about because we have some pretty exciting academic initiatives with some of our programs that I'd like to focus on, and then some big builds and community service projects that we're doing and others that I want to talk about. But our accounting program, it's been in the district for many, many, many years. Ann Knabush is our instructor. This year we have 73 students in it. That last bullet says BPA events. For each program, I tell you what student leadership piece that they are doing. In accounting, the Business Professionals of America is the organization that they do their student leadership through, okay? Their Microsoft Office certifications are their state-approved credentials, and there are many of them and multiple levels of them. So that's what they do in accounting. And Ann is actually in charge of running the regional competition for the second year in a row. It's a huge task that she rocked it last year. She's even better at it year two. So she has a big, big task at hand. Another business program that we have is called, is at the state level, we call it BAMO, but it's Business Administration, Management, and Operations. That focuses on things that you would need to do to run a business. Accounting is strictly accounting. It's spreadsheets and budgeting, right? Business administration, management, and operations is different. It has to do with, like, human resources and somewhat budgeting, but the standards are much more broad than the accounting, but it's another business strand. Something I didn't put on this slide that's pretty important as I'm speaking, I'm remembering that I didn't put it on there. Our accounting and our business, our BAMO program, we have both a regular and an early middle college strand of those programs, which generates an extra layer of funding that's pretty new to us. So with our early middle college on campus, we were able to determine which students participated the most heavily in what programs at the college and apply for CTE program codes for those students. And they, because they're coded as an EMC student and they're in our CTE programs, it generated an extra layer of funding. Last year was the first year we received that. This year will be the second year. We don't know the amount yet, but that's pretty exciting too, because we took two really great things and put them together and went through the application process to make sure that we were able to capture as much as we could for our district, for the students and the programs. Marketing, our instructor is Josh Dale. It's his second year as an instructor with us. He's doing an absolutely fantastic job. Generation E was a standalone class at the high school prior to this year. And this year, when you're at the high school level, if you want to learn about entrepreneurship, the CTE program to do that in is marketing. So that's where those students are advised by their counselors. The entrepreneurship standards are embedded in the marketing program. The second semester, especially, he highlights that independent, like, creation of the business and the business plan and all the things that the Jenny showcase require out of students. He does that with his students second semester in Marketing 1. And he's actually going to do a Shark Tank model for students to present their projects this year. So when it gets time for that, we might be sending out some invitations. And if any of you would enjoy coming and being part of that, that would be really fun to experience. His second year students are experience a brand new curriculum called Virtual Enterprise. And it's an advanced marketing program where the class all bands together and creates a product and creates a business that goes into a virtual marketplace with all the other districts across the nation that participate. And they buy and sell goods, not with real money, but with money on the marketplace in their virtual environment. We had some business partners come in and we did interviews. The first thing they had to do was hire a CEO, a COO, and a CFO. And then they did interviews with the other students in the class to create their HR department and their accounting department and their marketing department and the different departments that you would do to create a business. And then that business will go live and participate with the other businesses across the country that do that. So it's pretty exciting. The students are really enjoying it so far this year, and I'll be really excited to see how the whole thing flows toward the end. Josh got to go and experience what the end showcase looked like with the district that had been participating with that last year, and he's being mentored by those instructors through it this year. So pretty exciting stuff. Digital Multimedia is our fourth business program, and that is also Josh Dale as our instructor. It focuses mostly on Adobe Photoshop and getting proficient in that program for creating digital imagery and digital products. We have cybersecurity. Our instructor is a full-time instructor at the college. He is what we would consider adjunct. In their world, it would be considered adjunct. In our world, he's part-time for us, but he's full-time for them. He has his PhD, and he's been teaching cybersecurity for many, many years. He's really good at what he does and brings a lot of value. Those students participate in what's called Cyber Patriot competitions, and that's a competition that's put on by the Air Force. They haven't won anything in it yet, but it's a pretty new experience for everybody involved, and that's going well this year. They have a team of five that goes over to the college and does those competitions. I'll keep you posted on how the year evolves with that. Sarah Ziegler is our instructor for our education program. We have 30 students in that program this year. Our partners for that program are the Monroe County ISD and then our own elementary schools. So last year they went to Custer Elementary. This year, I believe she's second semester is when they travel to the elementaries, but she's going to be collaborating with Kelly at Waterloo. It's so close in proximity, it'll make the transport a lot more user-friendly. And they work with those elementary students. And her second-year students, this is the first year that they're experiencing an AmeriCorps program, which is a program where they are actually learning how to evaluate and diagnose reading deficiencies and then go in and push in and work with those students specifically on with their reading diagnostics on improving reading benchmarks with those students. And technology has helped us set up the environment that they needed to be able to work with this outside organization. It's a teacher from the outside organization that comes in and walks them through this. And Sarah has both levels in the same hour, so that frees her up to work with her first years, while this other instructor is working with her second years. And they also partner with our Monroe County ISD. This is the second year we'll be doing that, where they go over to the actual ISD at the Ed Center and work with students over there to get special education experience for them too. And they can be interested in any level of education, K-12. They get experience with whichever is their highest interest. We try not to put them in other high school classrooms just because of the age, and that's awkward, but they know what it's like to be a high school student right now, so we try to get them some exposure to the younger grades. And the credential that's available through that is called a Young Youth Development. I knew I'd forget what the A stands for. It's a YDA credential. It's what you would need to teach preschool. It's how you have to be credentialed to teach at the preschool level. But it requires about just shy of 500 hours outside of the classroom. That's a challenge, but they're working through that. Some of them are actually working with our 21st Century program after school as employees to get those hours, and it's been working out really well for everyone. And we hope to have some of them come back to us as employees in the future. That was one of the big draws of hosting that program. Our health science program, definitely our largest program on campus. Two instructors, both of them are registered nurses. The program offers 4 years worth of coursework, but most students don't have access until they're sophomores. They need maturity in content and the ability, when you're talking about sensitive patient information, you just need to be mature enough to be able to handle that. So most students enter as sophomores, but they can take both of the advanced options simultaneously as seniors, which many of them do. And at the end of that now, they have access to the curriculum and the testing to earn what's called a patient care technician certification. That's what our business partners are telling us they want. That's what ProMedica is hiring direct out of her classroom, plus the local long-term care facilities. So the students get out of there with BLS, which is Basic Life Support for Healthcare Provider Certification, and the Patient Care Tech, which gets them entry level right into those openings in those facilities within our community, which is a great thing for everybody involved. And many of their students go on to do college programs in healthcare. So 196 students enrolled this year, which is, it's a lot. It's a big program. It's great. Our drafting and design program instructor is Amelia Pillarelli. It's a part-time program. She works as a CTE lab facilitator for a half day in our department. She is a mechanical engineer by trade. She's a tech. She's excellent with technology. She helps all of the instructors that aren't so excellent with technology with their laser engravers and their CNC machines and all the things that need programming that they're not real comfortable with. She pushes in and helps students and instructors with those things. We are in the process of trying to apply for a new SIP code with the state that's an engineering general SIP code, which will allow her to teach many things out of. Right now, the current code that she's under with the state, it has an architectural focus. She wants to be able to expand that to all types of engineering, and the engineering general SIP code will allow for that. It will also be funded better because it's a much higher on that rank list than what her current program is, and it's in her wheelhouse to do all types of different design and engineering and not just architectural. So that's an exciting up-and-coming thing. Our welding program with Mr. Zorn, we have 80 students enrolled in that this year. He has three sections of first years and one double black section of advanced students. And they work toward what's called an American Welding Society. It's a SENS certification, which is their industry standard for entry-level certifications in welding. Is it going to make them a master welder? No. But does it get them a foot in the door to the facilities that want welders because they know they have some really great baseline skills and they know how to pass at least one of those tests that's very rigorous? They come in and they strength test their welds, they bend test them, do all that. He has an outside evaluator come in to do that for the students. So that's what the certifications that they're happening in our welding program right now. Autos program, Mr. Zamorski, 84 students in that program this year, and at the end of the year they have the opportunity to sit for the ASE certification for light maintenance and repair, which is also a certification that is sought after by any entry-level repair shop, oil change place, the car dealerships. If they have that, they bring them in and then they train them and get them more certifications after that. But it's a great step toward a career in that pathway. We have an electrical, electronics, equipment, and repair program that Mr. Clegg, Tony Clegg, is the instructor. He is part-time. He only teaches the first 2 hours of the day. This was a course that launched out of the efforts by the business and industry partners and the CTE, countywide CTE, to try to start this hub. We don't pay for the lease, but they lease us space at the college out of one of their classrooms, and they use their construction lab for their lab. And there are 14 students. Nine of them are Monroe students. The rest are Ida and this year Whiteford students that come to that course as well. So it's a double block every day, and we bus our students over that don't have transportation so that they have that opportunity, because some of them wouldn't if we didn't bus them. Our construction trades program, our second biggest program with two fantastic instructors, Andy and Tom. Andy has 5 hours his entire day, our first-year students, and then Tom has three sections of advanced students that it used to just be focused on finishing the house. We spread that out the last couple years because they have a lot of other projects going. The CTE storage barn, it's close. One of those slides is a little bit later, but I'm here, so I'll go ahead and talk about it. We're waiting on vendors that are installing the service doors to get those installed so that we can finish. They can't finish the drywall and the insulation in the tech room that we're finishing or finish the siding until the doors are all installed. So we're kind of paused waiting for that, but it's really close. We were hoping to have it done by the holidays, but it's going to depend on when these doors come. The doors came and they came with the wrong frames, so they had to reorder. So now we're waiting. But it's close and it looks great. And if you've been at the high school and you've swung back by the tennis courts and you look back and see it, it's impressive the work that they've done. So we have so many community partners that donate to the build that made it possible for that building to be built with funds from those builds. And the board was supportive of that when we got that passed. It was 2 years ago now that got approved. And it's such a blessing for all of the department. I can't wait until it's completely finished. Some of the other projects that they're working on right now, they were approached by Mr. Shaw and some of the City of Monroe partners. Andy, can you speak to the name of the partnership with Tino Amata and Deb Stalegrave? They're working together to do things that are community events, and it's a nonprofit. And one of the things that they're doing is part of the downtown, like tree lighting and holiday season. They're going to do visits with Santa, and our students have been building the Santa house that's going over for that.
Bringing the Santa house back. So those of you that were downtown when the Santa house was there, Santa house is coming back.
It's coming back. It's in our shop right now, it's almost
done. It needs to exit the shop end of this week, beginning of next, because next Friday night
is when
it has to be ready downtown for it.
And it'll be done.
It'll be done.
It's almost done now. Mm-hmm. So that partnership is happening. We have Trojan Build that is... the outside is almost finished except the stonework. It is drywall. The drywall on the inside is all hung right now. I have a couple pictures of that a little bit later in the slideshow too. With the group inside the living room all drywall done. Our students don't do the finish work on the drywall. They get it to the point where the drywall is on everything. And then it gets finished by Mr. Bell and Mr. Jackson that works at Custer. They work on that on their own to do the finish work. If students did the finish work on the drywall, I don't know if the house would sell. So that's and there. It's really hard to get a contractor to come in to finish drywall that's already been hung. So that's just part of the process to be able to get it done. But they're that far along already. It's year two, but we're only in November. Usually we're doing drywall at like spring break time. So it's moving along. They're getting ready to do the finish work on the inside. I can't wait for everybody to see it. I know that Tom plans to try to do a day in the spring, him and Andy do, to do the bed build that some of you have already participated in. Yep. That's on their radar for spring when Andy's first year students are ready to be able to help with that project as well. Last year they built handicap ramps for Habitat for Humanity. So that program is really heavily involved with community service projects, which is great for our students and our community and our program. They offer a credential that helps students get extra points if they're applying to the construction union out of Detroit. It's through the International Trades Program, and it's a credential through them. So our advanced students, most of them earn that level 3 credential, which allows them a step up on their application into that apprenticeship program, which is also an excellent thing that our students have access to. Our countywide programs that we have very few. We have one law enforcement student this year, one precision machining student, and 6 cosmetology students, which that's a big number. We typically have like maybe 3 or 4 participating in that any given year. The law enforcement program they host at the ISD. Precision machining is at Monroe County Community College. It's a full year program, and at the end of the full year, if they take the whole program, they end up with 12 college credits. They get both precision machining and blueprint reading as part of that program sequence. Man, I'm killing this mic tonight. I'm sorry. And then the cosmetology students, that's a 2-year program, and the students that graduate from there have a really good success rate at getting certified at the end of that.
So, Leah, we're going to take a pause right here.
Closed session.
We need to go to closed session for a moment. We'll bring you guys back in because you're doing really well with the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you for all the information.
I will try not to talk a lot longer. I planned 35 minutes. 5 more minutes, I can get it done. But how long are you thinking?
About 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Just text me or something. Call me.
We'll open the door and say, please come back in.
Do you want me to just push the button to turn this off?
Perfect. So he needs me to come bring him on by phone.
Oh.
Okay. He is on the road.
Okay. So he's going to call in.
I'm going to call him.
Oh, you're going to call
him.
Okay.
Session.
Do we need to take a motion on that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, can I get a motion to go into closed session?
Make a motion to go into closed session.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? If not, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini?
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes, and when the doors close, we will be in closed session.
This is Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. We will have Leah finish up here. Okay, it is 6:26. The doors are open, and we are back in open session. We're going to vote tonight in the board meeting. Yeah.
All right, Leah, welcome back.
I tried to, I'm really sorry. I really tried to put it in my 6 minutes.
You're fine.
It's okay.
Sorry, you're on. Did Tom officially
announce that we were back in open session?
Yeah, I just did.
What time was it?
6:26.
Thank you so much.
We're official.
I think I finished talking about this stuff. So I guess when we're thinking about future programming, there are some things that we need to consider, right? As we plan for what it looks like moving forward, that rank list is one thing to look at. Like, what does our, where are the biggest gaps in business and industry? That top 20 list is created out of where are the high demand, wage picture are the fifth and sixth hour block of students. The end of the workday, on the very last day that they finished the last piece of drywall. That was the end of the drywall day. It was pretty exciting. They were all pretty geeked about it. And then that's a, if you haven't driven by the build, that's the exterior of the build. It's really close to being done. There's some stonework that needs to go on it yet, but that's the color scheme.
Is there room for one more? Or is that
Two more.
Two more, okay.
We're on six of eight right now.
Okay.
Yep, so there's two more lots.
Is this in town site?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And those lots have been prepped with the drains and the power that had to go under the road, the access to some of the mechanicals that are
all in the utilities.
Yeah, we went ahead and when we had to go under the road for, when we came around the corner, things changed a little bit. So we tried to prep so that the cost for the last two, some of that,
already
happened.
Okay.
But yeah,
less interruption for the community
to
just get that all done.
Yeah.
At
that
time.
Let their grass get replanted. Yeah. We want to keep them happy. At a CTE storage barn, we talked about it already, but that's the picture of the front of it, if you haven't been out there to see it. It's quite impressive. And that's the end of my updates for you. And I am ready for any questions that you might have for us.
Other than one student that is at the college for precision machining, is there any other collaboration with the college and the CTE programs?
Not as of right now. Yeah. So Jason Evers is our CPID director that is ISD. He runs our whole region. Mm-hmm. He's the person that everything filters through that we report. He's been working with them to try to get something going with their construction management. I know those meetings have been in place. There's been some roadblocks as far as making the lab space and the courses available within the school day for students that come. That's a big deterrent. If you're running programs that are only available in the evening, our students work and they have sports and they're busy in the evening, so to commit to that is really difficult. So the machining instructor, Troy Elliott over there,
I didn't know who you're talking about.
He was very forward-thinking, and he wanted to try to make it work with us, so he implemented that during the day. Stephen Hasselbeck was the welding instructor. He also put a block of time during the day. Our students don't need to take advantage of that because we have it on site, but other county students take welding over there, so they are collaborating with welding, and they're trying to get something rolling with construction management, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
So, those are the ones that I know about. And then there is some talk and some work that is being done looking at possibly moving into an aviation zip code in collaboration with the airport. And I believe it's on engine repair for aviation. And that would be a very small, less than class size type of opportunity over there. So I don't know what will happen with that, but I think the college and the county have both been collaborating on that. That's not something that's happening at our district level.
So I had a question regarding, and dovetailing off that. So very, very interested in CNC manufacturing. That's the world that I play in. I unfortunately don't have any customers in Monroe County. I cover Cleveland, Erie, Buffalo, Rochester, and I do have a couple in outside of Toledo, Ohio. But I was kind of surprised. I'm not surprised it's on here. It should be, in my opinion, higher based on what I hear from people in manufacturing. Yes.
Oh.
So I don't know how that looks on the rank list. I'm having a problem necessarily looking at the numbers. Just anecdotally, that is a high demand position that will pay very, very well if you stick at it, keep your head down, and work hard. Within 2 years, very possibly you could be making six figures. That's not an exaggeration. That is the truth. And I think that you guys got to see that opportunity when we visited a customer. I don't know how we make that work. We did learn from the customer visit we made that Haas offers control panels. They can actually, you can have them donated by Haas because Haas wants people to know how to program. Right, program. But the good news is if you run a Haas control board, you can run any other control board. It's not Haas specific. It's a control board that will look very similar if you go to different manufacturers. So that's something they are willing to donate to schools. So that's one area of cost you don't have to worry about. My biggest, if I'm looking at an obstacle, I think our biggest obstacle is being who would teach that curriculum.
Mm-hmm. She would be comfortable with that, especially if they offer good training on it.
Okay.
If it's not manual lathe work that she would have to
yeah,
have,
no. Yeah. It's not.
In its panel and its programming, that would probably, it would potentially fit in with what we're trying to do with moving that engineering.
That's great, because I yeah.
Some of the automation things that we've actually gone out to industry and looked at, right now we're just priced out of them.
Yeah.
In welding, in industry, they use Yep. That technology, yep. The instructors actually went to Lansing Community Colleges and two businesses around Lansing Community College that use cobots in their facilities. And by the end of the day, they were programming it. Like, it was very user-friendly. But they're very expensive to purchase. It's a
yes.
Technology that's extremely expensive to purchase.
Yes.
The other thing are Fanuc robots. So when we look at the world of manufacturing and automation, our business partners are telling us that if students can program Fanuc
yeah.
robots and they can repair Fanuc robots, they
mm-hmm.
can pretty much write a ticket
mm-hmm.
to get into
yeah.
most
yeah.
manufacturing facilities.
Yeah.
So that's something that we've been looking at as well. Amelia has collaborated with the Fanuc rep. He's looking for grants for us as we speak.
Okay.
Right
that's
now,
good.
Those aren't available as of yet, but those purchases, you're looking at a six-figure purchase either direction with the education training module versions of those. They might be less expensive for a usable version that a business uses in a practical environment, but the ones that are safe to use and train on in an educational setting,
mm-hmm.
They're just very expensive. That's why I so hope that the 61C grant comes back eventually. Like, that's how we were able to upgrade all of our welders. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we had a year where we could set aside funds and make purchases like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I would think with the cobots in general, your point is well. Cobots are the thing of the people like the most. They're easy to move around. They're not stationed at a position with a Fanuc robot. My thought process on cobots would be, and I don't know how it looks like from an educational standpoint, but you're going to have people who retire their cobots, meaning they're going to buy better cobots because the technology moves quickly. And they may be willing to donate a cobot. I don't think that's without the realm.
If you have any resources
right,
that you would like to
right.
Pass,
I will work hard, but because these people really are interested. They their biggest stumbling block is that they could pursue more business and they could grow their business, but they don't have people to help them grow their business. So they're stuck. And we're behind the eight ball at this point, but they're trying to rapidly find solutions. So it doesn't even matter. They may not necessarily be in Monroe County. They just want to see manufacturing grow in the general area because, once again, the kid might go work in Delta, Ohio. Doesn't matter. At least they're staying within a 60-mile radius or whatever. So, yeah, I'll think hard about that and see on the cobot side if there's somebody who would, like I said, make it very attractive or may donate. I don't know.
It was one of the Lincoln reps that they actually went with to go take a look at the
okay.
products.
Okay.
So, and I know those reps are looking for funding sources for us. They're always
sure.
They've always done that for
yeah.
us. But that's a large amount. Usually it's anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 ranges if they're offering grants.
Sure.
Which helps offset some of it.
Yes, a lot.
So what you were describing, though, a few moments ago is we would need to move into the engineering technology area then to implement
yeah.
the things like what Brian's talking about
yeah.
and others.
Yeah. Okay. Any kind
and
of auto.
Application
yeah.
right now is open. It's due in another 3 weeks. And then we'll know back sometime in when I say the state, the Office of Career and Technical Education is part of the Department of Ed at the state level, and that's who governs us and reviews any applications. And they have been shorthanded. They've had some turnovers in their consultants and that haven't been replaced yet. So it's just like the wheels are turning really slow. But hopefully by February, we know if that program was approved for next year, which would be fantastic.
Yep.
It doesn't mean we have to necessarily close the other SIP code, although I would think that's the direction we probably would be heading, is to change the focus so that it's a broader survey of the engineering world. Mm-hmm. It covers a little bit of civil, some mechatronics, some electrical, mechanical. So it's a survey engineering course that also would focus on some of those technical skills that include advanced coursework that would include the automation.
Yeah, to me that's key. And I've been out of the industry for a few years now, but I can remember if we could find somebody who could do Allen Bradley, Siemens, Fanuc controls, man, they could just write their ticket.
Yeah. Do we have a way to put our toe into the 3D printing side of things as well?
We already have our.
You'll have your own 3D printer, right? I saw that, but I'm talking about. Okay.
3D printers. We have some of the very basic starter that you can use with middle school skills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the way up to the enclosed $20,000 they can run all night when you go home type of 3D printers. So we use those currently.
Okay.
I mean, there's always room to get the newer, more
right.
Come on.
it's hard to keep up with the technology.
Yeah.
But we do that already.
Okay.
Good.
Other questions?
Any further questions?
Mm-hmm.
Not? Thank you, Leah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay.
Do we want to talk or take a break?
Thanks,
I think we just want to take a break.
Okay.
And then afterwards, we'll come right back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we will actually take a break, and then our last topic will come back after the board meeting and address that. So, can I get that? It concludes our agenda. Can I get a motion to adjourn the work session?
No, we're just going to
reset. Okay.
I move that our work session go into recess.
Name the time, press. 6:43, we are in recess, and we will adjourn later.